for joining us on Ohio Sports Magazine.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, when one says yo-yoing, we don't necessarily go to sports, but technically that's what it is. Yo-yoing is a sport. Have you been a yo-yoer for a while, or is that what you call someone that engages in this?
We usually refer to ourselves as yo-yo players.
Okay.
And yes, I've been doing this for a while. I started playing when I was 19, and I'm 48 now. So the majority of my life has been spent with the art, sports, skill of yo-yoing.
So we're looking at top competitors in yo-yoing from more than 20 countries coming to Cleveland for the chance to gain the title of the world champion of yo-yoing. What kind of preparation goes into something like that?
So the actual competition is based off of a freestyle routine, a series of freestyles. And freestyle routines, I mean, just like ice skating or anything, you know, similar to that, it's a choreographed routine set to music. And you have a limited amount of time to hit as, you know, to rack up as many points as you can. With yo-yoing, we have multiple rounds of competition to kind of, you know, narrow the field a bit. Starts off with 30-second routines, moves up to 1 minute, then 1.5 minute, and then the final round are 3-minute freestyles. And judges are going to be looking for technical difficulty. They're going to be looking for originality. They're going to be looking for creativity, stage movement, you know, how well they use the stage. They're going to be looking for just how incredibly difficult the tricks are. You know, there's a large number of things the judges are looking for, to the point where we've actually in recent years split up our judging panel so that different groups of judges will focus on different criteria just to make sure that we're, you know, scoring the players as accurately as possible.
Is there an age range or a minimum age for a player to become involved in an event like this?
So it's interesting. There's no minimum age. There's no specific age requirements. But we find that the nature of yo-yoing sort of means that you end up with players who are roughly like 11 to 22, just because those are the sort of years of your life when you have the most time to devote to something like this.
Definitely, it's a hobby that probably takes up a little bit of time. What got you into it when you were younger?
My entry point into yo-yoing is very different than most people. I never actually yo-yoed as a hobby. I started yo-yoing at 19 because I was homeless and I needed a job. And I managed to convince the owner of a kite shop in Tallahassee, Florida, where I was living, to give me a job if I could learn how to yo-yo and juggle. And so I literally stole a yo-yo from his store, taught myself a few tricks, came back a week later and was like, I can yo-yo. Can you give me this job? And he did. He gave me a job and I stuck with it and just kept getting better and better and more interested. Learned how to, you know, use a lot of different skill toys, yo-yos, juggling, spin tops, all kinds of things. But the yo-yoing is really what stuck with me, and it's what I really kind of developed a love for and an aptitude for. And, you know, went from sitting in the back of a warehouse assembling yo-yos to standing out front and demonstrating them to helping to run contests to traveling the world as a professional yo-yo demonstrator. And now here I am running the International Yo-Yo Federation and organizing the World Yo-Yo Contest.
This is Steve Brown we're talking to, and the World Yo-Yo Contest to which he referred begins on July 31st. In Cleveland, of all places, and what a great opportunity for Cleveland to show off the newly renovated Hotel Cleveland, which will be the venue for this event. And thank you, Steve, for sharing your origin story with us, which leads me to two questions now. First of all, did the cost of that absconded yo-yo come out of your first paycheck? And secondly, have you kept up with that shop owner that sort of gave you your start? Were they able to see where you took this supposed hobby job that you got in Florida?
I returned the yo-yo the day that I came back and applied for the job. I slipped it back onto the shelf when he wasn't looking. I worked for him for years afterwards, for a long time. And we have stayed in touch throughout the years, and to the point where, you know, we're definitely we're definitely connected, and it is one of those people that I can look back and I can honestly say that had I not met him, my life would have most likely turned out very, very differently.
Wow. Now, at the event, the 2024 World Yo-Yo Contest in Cleveland, there will also be the opportunity to have lessons and instruction from some of the top players for those who are looking for their own entry point into the world of yo-yoing. What can you say to someone that might be considering this?
Oh, it's yo-yoing is one of those things. And I'm sure that you've experienced this, and a lot of other adults have experienced this. We all kind of think back about yo-yoing, and we think about that one time we picked up a yo-yo when we were a kid, and I'm terrible at that. Like, I couldn't make it come back, couldn't do any tricks with it. I would encourage absolutely anybody, young, old, in between, just give it a try with a professional teaching you. It is absolutely astounding how much better the yo-yos are now than when we were kids. And it is really incredible how much different the experience is when you have an actual yo-yo player teaching you. It is so much easier to pick up than I think a lot of people realize. And it is a tremendous amount of fun.
And for those who would just like to come and watch and be amazed by the tricks, are you open to the public during the contest? Can spectators come and watch?
We are open to the public. You can get spectator tickets online in advance, WYYC2024.com, or you can just get them at the door. And we definitely welcome any and all members of the general public to just come hang out and get a look at what modern, advanced, competitive yo-yoing looks like. Because as ridiculous as that phrase sounds, it is really entertaining to watch, and it's a really good time.
It sounds like it. Don't miss the World Yo-Yo Contest for 2024 happening in Cleveland starting on July 31st. As Steve said, WYYC2024.com is the website to get all of that information. You just might be a champion yo-yo player in the making, so do not miss this opportunity. Steve Brown, we thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure there is a lot going on right now to get ready for the contest. Wishing you the best of luck with all of that.
Great. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you there.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Are you thirsty for Buckeye football? Join the fans Timmy Hall as he digs around the archives to bring you classic matchups from yesteryear.
That's right, yesteryear.
Buckeye Replay.
Every Saturday at 1 starting July 6th.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
I'm Kate Burdett, joined today by Jim Fander. He's with the Akron Rubber Ducks. They have a lot of exciting things coming up on the schedule this year, and we're going to hear all about it. Jim, thanks so much for joining us on Ohio Sports Magazine.
Thanks so much, Kate, for having me. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Well, as president and general manager of the Akron Rubber Ducks, you are the authority on what the team is bringing to us this season. We had a lot of excitement last year. Tell me a little bit about what we can look forward to this summer.
Yeah, well, we're excited. We play 69 home games between April and September, and we spend all offseason dreaming up how we're going to fill those games with fun promotions, great food items, awesome fireworks shows after the games. And so I think we really kind of focus on the fan experience. And, Cleveland has always been very good to us. We've had a lot of great players that have come through. Gavin Williams was our opening day starter a year ago, and he finished most of the year at the major league level. A lot of the guys that are on the current Guardians roster at one point or another came through Akron, really helping us win a championship in 2021. So while we don't control the play on the field, we do control the fun on the outside of the white lines of a baseball field. So always a lot of fun things, always a lot up our sleeves every year, and excited to, kind of dive into another 69 games of fun here in Akron for not only folks from Akron, for all over Northeast Ohio.
Absolutely. And it's a great point to reinforce that you are really showing off some of the rising stars in the sport. And as you just said, so many of the names on the current Cleveland Guardians roster have passed through your doors. It's really a great way, especially for families looking for that fun activity to do for everyone to get together. It's very affordable to go to a Rubber Ducks game. And then who knows who you're going to be watching play that will be moving up to the big leagues soon.
You're exactly right. I mean, I think, you know, we're all about affordable family fun. I mean, we shout it from the rooftops here in Akron. And so we'll always have a $5 ticket price point. You know, you buy your ticket in advance. You can come in for as little as $5. You know, we have our hot dogs are $2 at every game. So I think there's always something for everybody, but you're right. You'll never know who you'll see coming through. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, with the Guardians, and we've had a lot of great players that have come through, thanks to the Cleveland organization, but sometimes it's the players that are coming in from the visiting team as well. You know, Paul Skeens, most recently, number one pick of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was here at the end of the year last year. Jackson Holliday with the Baltimore Orioles system came in when Bowie was in town. So there's always great baseball to be seen, but it is fun because I think you're looking for a fun night out. You're looking for something to do with a family that's not going to break the bank. Try one of our crazy food items or see a great fireworks show or meet a famous celebrity. I think we've got all those bases covered when you're thinking about something fun to do during the best months out of the year in the spring and summer in Northeast Ohio.
Jim Fander is president and general manager of the Akron Rubber Ducks baseball team, and he is a hometown boy who has traveled the country with the baseball business, and you just jumped at the chance to come back and run your hometown team. What does it mean to you, Jim, to be there in the pilot seat of the Akron Rubber Ducks?
Well, personally and professionally, it's an incredible experience. And, you know, I think, you know, we really see, and I talk about for myself and our owner, Ken Babby, we really see ourselves as stewards of the club. You know, we are part of, you know, we don't own the stadium. We don't own the players, but in our business, heck, sometimes we can't even control the final score that happens on the field, right? But in our business, it's really about that fan experience and that fun that people have. For me, being from Akron, you know, both personally and professionally, it's really rewarding to be a part of this. You know, when Canal Park was built in 1997 and really was the brainchild and the vision of Mayor Plaskowicz at the time to really locate the ballpark on Main Street in downtown. Most ballparks throughout the country, and I compare it to my minor league career, you know, I've been places like Spokane, Washington, Brockton, Massachusetts, Charleston, South Carolina, Port Charlotte, Florida, all over the country. And none of those ballparks in those cities are downtown. And so it was really part of the revitalization of downtown Akron, you know, in the 70s and 80s when a lot of those rubber companies moved out and a lot of the jobs kind of went with them. Downtown Akron, you needed a facelift. It needed a refresh. And Mayor Plaskowicz thought of the Canal Park and putting it, centering it right on Main Street to be the catalyst to really bring back to life downtown Akron. And great things like Lock 3 have sprung up since then, and the bars and the restaurants, and, you know, really just the life in downtown Akron has really improved because of Canal Park. So when you look back at 27 years ago, that decision, and then really that torch continues to be passed from Dan Horrigan, now to Shamus Malik, it's part of what drives folks to come downtown. And so to be just such a small part of that process is so rewarding and so much fun for me personally to be able to be a part of this growing up here and you know, playing baseball until they had to rip the uniform off me when they're like, okay, you're not good enough to play at a higher level. So to be around the game, to be around affordable family fun in downtown Akron, I think that means the most to me and providing this great experience for all of our families here in Northeast Ohio to experience, have fun, come to a ball game. I mean, what's more American than grabbing a hot dog with those who mean most with you and watching a game of baseball?
I couldn't have said it better myself. And the only thing I'd add is a $2 hot dog. That's a heck of a deal. Get downtown in Akron and check out the Akron Rubber Ducks. They have a lot going on at Canal Park and around the area too. Make a day of it. Jim Fander, president and general manager of the Akron Rubber Ducks. They say that if you love your work, you don't work a day in your life. And I feel like you're definitely in that position, my friend.
I'm singing that from the rooftops. I can remember being in high school and being in some college classes, and we'd have these outside speakers that would come in and they would say exactly what you just said. You know, it never feels like work if you're doing what you love, and it doesn't. You know, I get to come to a ballpark every day. I get to see the greenest grass in the city. And I had nothing to do with that. That's our incredible groundskeeper, Chris Walsh, and his assistant, Cole Boxler. It's an incredible business to be a part of. And I think, you know, across the board, you find something that you love to do. It doesn't feel like work. And when you get to provide this experience and you get to see kids' faces the first time they walk through the gates, and the oohs and the ahs and the smell of fresh cut grass, or hot dogs on the grill. It just makes it all worthwhile. And you know, certainly love what I do, but I'm so fortunate to be in this position and to be with a staff of 32 incredible full-time people that all we do is think, eat, breathe, and sleep. How can we make the Rubber Ducks better? Maybe just even 1% every day. And that's what drives us, to be able to provide this incredible experience to folks in Northeast Ohio.
Keep up the great work, Jim. We're glad you're doing it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Did you know 38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games? Items like mystery boxes, skins, and spin to win mimic gambling, putting children at a higher risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. So get in the know about youth gambling and start the conversation with discussion guides, parent resources, and more at changethegameohio.org. That's changethegameohio.org.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. To find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit associationsadvanceohio.com.
Do you want a job that is flexible, secure, and fun? It also offers excellent pay and is ranked as one of the best jobs in America, too. I'm talking about being a dental hygienist. And all you have to do is complete a two-year program after high school. Visit ODA.org to learn more and to start helping people love their smile. This message is brought to you by the members of the Ohio Dental Association.
Every year, Adult Protective Services receives thousands of reports of elder abuse, exploitation, and neglect in Ohio. When a report is received, Adult Protective Services can check in and provide help if needed. If someone you know is showing signs of elder maltreatment, don't hesitate to call 855-OHIO-APS. Let's work together to help every Ohioan age safely.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
I'm Kate Burdett, joined by Chris Sprague. He is the director of media for the Columbus Clippers. Their season is underway, and there are a lot of exciting things on the horizon. Hi, Chris. How are things over at the stadium?
Hi, Kate. Great. We're so happy to have this baseball season underway.
This is the 15th season of baseball here at Huntington Park in downtown Columbus. And we just couldn't be more thrilled to be back at it. We are happy to be rocking and rolling here in Columbus.
For sure. I know the minor league baseball season is not complete without a lot of fun promotions. Let's have some of the highlights on your promotional calendar this summer and the cool activities and freebies that'll be coming up for fans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that a lot of our fans look forward to is all the different kind of things and activities that we have going on throughout the season here. You can come every week, every game and kind of see something different. And that's why, you know, I think we've continued to be successful. The Clippers have been in the top five in attendance in the entire country in the minor leagues every single season since Huntington Park opened 15 straight years now. And I know that that our promotions folks who work really hard every offseason to put together an entertaining lineup of schedule of things for us, they continue to do such a great job. You know, we have so many fun events. Puppy Palooza is one of my favorites that we have twice a year in May and September, where people can bring their dogs down to the park. We do a puppy parade on the field before the game and have an area where they can hang out with their dogs for the entire duration of the game, which is always fun, always an exciting one. We've got some special appearances coming up this season. This year, we've also got a night honoring the show The Office, where we're going to have Andy Buckley. We have had stars of The Office here in the past. It's always one of our more popular promotions that we do. So we've got one of the stars of that show coming in July, Andy Buckley. So if you like, you know, the special appearances, we've always got those. And we do so many other types of events. We've got some nights with some special identities where we kind of wear different uniforms. In August, we have got the Marvel Superhero Night coming up. We also have a replica jersey giveaway in August. I know it's going to be a big one for our fans. We've got some new uniforms that the Clippers are donning this year, a new red alternate jersey. Also, we have a special identity that we play every Thursday in honor of the Minor League Baseball COPA program, where every team has a Hispanic identity. Ours is the Valeros, and we've got brand new Valeros uniforms this year, which are really cool. So if you ever come on Thursday night to Huntington Park, you'll see us playing in the new green and black Valeros jerseys, which are very cool and very different. So always exciting for our fans to be able to pick up some of those new things and kind of have the new looks as well. Harry Potter night also in September this year. So we really do have a nice variety of things, things the kids like, things that the grown-ups like, and people like me that remember some of the old movies and shows. So, you know, always coming up with different things. And stay tuned, because if you go to ClippersBaseball.com throughout the year, you may see even more things posted as we go.
Chris Sprague is with the Columbus Clippers baseball team. 15 years now that Huntington Park has been open. It does not seem that long.
You know, it's fun to kind of look back and honor those things. And you know, just the fact that this park has been here 15 years, you're absolutely right. You know, fans in Columbus certainly remember Cooper Stadium over on the west side of town, where the team existed for a long time. But, you know, the move here to the arena district has just been fabulous. We continue to work really hard every year to keep this park in great shape, state of the art, very clean. And I think our folks do a great job along those lines. And the arena district in Columbus, I just can't think of a better place to be a professional sports team right now. It's such an exciting location. The first week of the season, we had a game where our neighbors, the Blue Jackets, the NHL team, were at home the same day that we played. And the Crew, the soccer team, the MLS team, had a game. And there was also a concert right next door to our venue, all in the same day. So it's sort of the place to be in Columbus. There's no doubt about that. And we are happy to be right smack in the middle and the venue that that has more events than anyone else in the arena district.
Oh, my gosh. What a distinction. Chris Sprague with the Columbus Clippers. It sounds like you have your plate full for the season, as you should. And we look forward to everything coming up. We'll check back with you a little later this season for some new developments. But we really appreciate your time today, and we're looking forward to getting out to the ballpark.
Absolutely. Hope to see everyone down at Huntington Park very soon.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Summer is full of family fun, strawberry picking, little Johnny's baseball games, warding off shark attacks on the beach.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
When you get sick of all that crap, turn to us. Download the Fan app and take us with you. The Fan. This is ONN.
This coming Monday, college football's biggest conferences will officially get bigger. The Big Ten will grow from 14 to 18 teams as Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC will join the conference on July 1st. Also Monday, the Southeastern Conference will officially go from 14 members to 16 with the additions of Texas and Oklahoma. The news of the Longhorns and Sooners joining the SEC was announced back in 2021. USC and UCLA was the response from the Big Ten about a year later. Paul Feinbaum covers the SEC and college football at large for ESPN. He was a guest on ONN affiliate WBNS FM in Columbus earlier this week. Bo Bishop asked Paul how and why Texas and OU decided to jumpstart conference realignment.
I think it all comes down to Texas. They were frustrated with where they were, and I think Texas had heard some rumblings that Southern Cal was looking around, and you know how these things work. And they started quietly through attorneys, of course, exploring some possibilities. And I think they had intermediaries with the Big Ten, ACC, and SEC. And I think they always wanted to draft with Oklahoma. And Oklahoma had expressed interest in the SEC privately about 8 or 9 years ago. And when they called indirectly, of course, Greg Sankey of the SEC, he said, we can make this happen. And they felt like the SEC was just a better landing mark. I mean, the Big Ten, I think, was also very much in consideration, but they felt the SEC fit the geographical mix a little bit better.
You know, I remember the time of the Longhorn Network when it all, when they did that, and Texas is like, actually, we're going to have our own revenue stream in the Big 12. We're going to do it our own. We're going to go it alone. And at that point, the Big Ten had poked around, and Oklahoma was in the mix. And at that time, the Big Ten was just focused on AAU certification and all of this stuff academically. And now I don't know that any of that matters, but it did at that time. But they were, Texas was always kind of the catalyst to this thing. And you mentioned Oklahoma coming along as well. In terms of other teams or other programs who have come to the Southeastern Conference and said, hey, what about us? How often has that happened over the last decade or so? And was there ever an instance where the SEC was expanding after they added Missouri and A&M the last time around?
No, I'm after Missouri and A&M. About 15 years ago, West Virginia practically begged to get in, and the SEC said thanks, but no thanks. And it really came down to academics. West Virginia fit the template very well in terms of craziness and fan base and all that. But one thing the SEC has really done in recent time, and Texas A&M is the outlier, but if you look at the last couple of schools that they've taken in, Arkansas and South Carolina 30 years ago, and then A&M and Missouri, and now these two, they really prefer state universities, and I think that's a template for the future as everybody tries to figure out Florida State, Clemson. I don't think either one really fits what the SEC is interested in right now. But the thing about Texas that is so interesting is Texas had a chance to get in probably 35 years ago, and Texas thought they were too good for the SEC. And you remember in 2011, Texas had made the move to go to the Pac-12, and they were taking a bunch of schools with them, and it blew up at the last minute, and then A&M said, we're gone, and Nebraska had wanted to get away from Texas years earlier. Missouri wanted to, and it was all because of the Longhorn Network. And that's a fear that some people have right now, Bo, that Texas will do that again. And certainly, and not to get into deep weeds, but the fact that they literally ripped a baseball coach off from Texas A&M as he was showering after the College World Series final has only enhanced that thought.
Well, and the other thing, and when I was down there, I mean, the feeling that I always felt was like, look, and I was covering Florida State at that time. It was like, hey, the SEC doesn't, they're already in Florida. Like, Florida doesn't need FSU. The SEC doesn't need FSU. And same thing with Clemson. They're already in South Carolina. They don't need Clemson. They already have the University of South Carolina. Even at the time, those programs were slightly better than the other ones in their state. Texas A&M obviously wanted no part of this, but the reality is probably that Texas is a much prettier girl. It's kind of that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, you've seen those articles years ago about the conferences at the bar at closing time, and yeah, that's a pretty accurate way of putting it. It's a fun. I did a speech on that once, and I would never do it again because of the political correctness of today. But it is amazing, and it's just the way things change. And I don't really think anybody is that eager to absorb it anymore. You know how difficult it is for the Big Ten. The fact that they're taking four in is pretty remarkable. And the SEC has struggled to get two in. So all these people, especially in Florida State, who think somebody really wants them badly, they don't.
No, they don't. And so the only way that it would happen, and you know this, and just a reminder for our audience, the only reason that the Big Ten took the four, and especially the last two that they took, was their television partner, primarily Fox, said, hey, we need some television shows. And we like to do some stuff on Friday nights, and these schools can do that. Like, and these are better television shows. It was kind of that simple. And that's kind of the issue that conference is in. It also speaks, doesn't it, Paul, to the gross mismanagement. When you think of the incompetence, in what was the old Southwestern Conference and Big 8, Big 12, and then the Pac-12, the idea that somebody couldn't cobble something together. And I don't know if it speaks more to the incompetence there or the incredible competency that the SEC has had and that the Big Ten has had in leadership over the last 25 years, but it's a stark difference between how these conferences have been managed.
They'll be teaching at the Harvard Business School in years ahead about how mismanaged the Pac-12 was, because it was just an absolute disaster of arrogance by Larry Scott and even his successor. They could have had a TV deal at any point. And that's really where it is. But I'll give the Big Ten credit, because, I mean, it was 2 years ago this week when the Southern Cal news broke, and we were all in shock. And the fact that they were able to do that and then pull off the Oregon Washington thing, and who would have ever believed that on this date, as we end that first half of the year here in a couple of days, that Oregon and Washington heading into the Big Ten would actually be bigger news and more interesting than Southern Cal and UCLA.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Here's a quick listening guide. When something's on the fan, it's on the station you're listening to right now. If I say something's on ESPN Columbus, it's on 1460 AM and the Fan's HD2. When in doubt, stream it on the Fan app. Thank you and good night. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
Time to discuss Cincinnati Reds baseball and hear from Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds with our Paul Keels.
It's our pleasure this week to once again talk with Jeff Carr from the Locked On Reds podcast that he does with Steve Offenbaker. Jeff, one of the things you talked about and wanted to start with this week is the concerns you expressed about leadership, in particular as it connects to Hunter Green two different times in a recent history here, upchucking on the mound.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it feels like there should be a little bit more of a plan in place, because I don't know about you, but I don't really hear it being that common of guys, hurling on the mound. Now, maybe they hurl the baseball toward the plate, but not necessarily the lunch. And that's really what it's looked like these last couple of times, is if he is trying to do this all on his own. And this is a little bit of a smaller detail that follows along the health, the whole health questions that come with other injuries and players that we've heard, oh, maybe they're day to day. And then we find out in a couple of weeks they have surgery. So it sort of adds into a larger thing for me that it just seems as though the health of this team isn't being managed correctly.
Is that in relation also to the Christian Encarnacion Strand situation?
A little bit, yeah. It's, the report that he was ready to go, that he was ready to begin a rehab assignment, but that he was seeking a second opinion. And then it was about 3 weeks later, it was announced that he's going to have surgery. And maybe part of his diagnosis and maybe part of what the doctors were telling him was, you can play on this, but you may need surgery later. I definitely understand that. But for him to go out and get a second opinion, and that second opinion basically say, no, don't play, rest it, or continue to rest it and see where it's at, and then where it was at is he still needed surgery anyway. It seems to follow along a very concerning trend that this medical staff has had.
Yeah. In the same topic with medical issues, but this seems to be hopefully a shorter term one. Nick Lodolo, kind of put on the shelf for a little bit, which is a shame considering how well he'd been throwing the ball.
Yeah, he's been absolutely killing it here recently. His most recent start, it seemed a little bit off, especially his curveball wasn't quite as crisp. And I definitely think that the blister was an issue there, but I don't necessarily think that he's going on the injured list specifically for health reasons. I think it's a little bit of an opportunity for them to be like, okay, let's make sure we manage this blister situation, because it was something that plagued him while he was in Double A with Chattanooga. But also, it's a nice way of limiting his innings. He has yet to pitch more than 105 innings. In fact, his highest amount in the major leagues is 103 1/3 innings. So for him to all of a sudden jump up to like 200 innings or something like that this season is just not feasible. So they're going to manage that workload a little bit, especially with the idea that maybe this team can get back into the race and maybe there'll be some sort of, you know, crazy September that they really need Nick Lodolo to pitch through. Because if you use up all of those innings now, then you do get back in the race, then you're not going to have him at crunch time.
All right, how about some good things, Jeff? Jonathan India, especially that great run that he was on, getting on base. I believe it was 11 consecutive plate appearances getting on base, and he just seems to really be focused right now.
Yeah, he's on a crazy tear. His last 29 games now, he's hitting over 350, and he's slugging over 500, which was kind of a thing like early on this season. You could see the plate discipline. The batting average wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible either, but it was mostly singles. Over the last month, it's been an all-around domination at the plate, and that's why you see him get bumped up to hitting leadoff, especially with TJ Friedl being out. The Reds really needed somebody to step into that role, and he has done so and really passed with flying colors. He's got an argument at least whenever TJ Friedl returns to leadoff against right-handed pitchers. I think we'll probably still see Friedl against left-handed pitchers. I think we'll probably still see Friedl lead off against righties, but I mean, India has been a huge reason why the Reds have been scoring whatever runs they've been scoring recently.
How about that home run Ellie De La Cruz hit up on the riverboat the other night, Jeff?
That was huge. And that cast saying 439 feet, that they're shortchanging that.
I agree.
There ain't no way. Like, it's got to be much further than that, especially with the height. I mean, maybe they're just talking about the flight of the ball, because technically it was cut short by the fact that it hit a really tall object in center field. But I mean, that was absolutely crushed, and that's just what he can do. I mean, he's got the power to hit definitely the tundra sign. Who knows, maybe one day he hits the tundra itself. But he is the kind of guy that will change a game in so many different ways, and his ability to hit the ball very, very far is just one of those amazing weapons that he has.
It certainly is. Jeff Carr from the Locked On Reds podcast, thanks as always for your insight, Jeff.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Go Reds.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Did you know 38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games? Items like mystery boxes, skins, and spin to win mimic gambling, putting children at a higher risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. So get in the know about youth gambling and start the conversation with discussion guides, parent resources, and more at changethegameohio.org. That's changethegameohio.org.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Beech leaf disease is contributing to the significant decline of beech trees. Since its discovery, BLD has spread rapidly in the northeastern United States. Beech leaf disease first presents itself as banding between the veins of the leaves and progresses to canopy decline. There are several products that have proven to be effective at controlling beech leaf disease that are labeled for use in Ohio. For more information, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy houses as is fast for cash. Call me today for an all-cash offer on any of your properties, and we can close within days at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Do you own a property that's outdated and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, I'll buy it. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Would it be convenient for you if you could simply take what you wanted and leave the rest behind? Great, I'll buy it. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, rental portfolios. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. Call TurboTrack Realty today for an all-cash offer and speak with one of our friendly staff members at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
Time now to get some highlights of the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show with Jay Crawford. Here's producer Bodie Wells.
Thanks, Kate. On the show this week, the guys discussed whether or not the Cleveland Guardians are the best team in the American League right now.
Let's jump right into some baseball here, baby. Let's get to it. The Guardians have won 7 in a row. They are a season-high 25 games over 500. They have the best winning percentage now in all of baseball. In the last week, they have passed the Orioles, then the Yankees, and last night with a win, they passed the Phillies for the best winning percentage in all of baseball, guys. And they've won this 7 in a row against good teams.
Yeah.
It started with Seattle, who's pretty good. Then they swept Toronto, who's okay. And now they've taken the first 2 out of 3 against Baltimore, who, in my opinion, on paper, is the best team in the American League. On paper. But you don't win games on paper, guys. You win games on the field. And the Guardians winning more than anybody else.
They're the best team. I'm not going to come in here and play, you know.
It's a good story.
Analyst. Yeah. Somebody, you know, we'll wait till the summer hits and wait till we. No, no, no. Right now, today, the Guardians are the best team in baseball, and it's not close. It's not close. They got multiple people on their team that are playing like studs.
To catch the full breakdown, just search for the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and enjoy their daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine show here on the Ohio News Network.
Bishop and Friends.
Joey, you like these things so much, why don't you try eating these in the contest? You know, a meat stick is going to stay together, but in a non-meat stick situation, it's anarchy.
Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
That's all for this week's Ohio Sports Magazine. Thank you so much to this week's guests. Steve Brown from the 2024 World Yo-Yo Contest, starting July 31st in Cleveland. Thanks also to Jim Fander of the Akron Rubber Ducks and Chris Sprague from the Columbus Clippers. Thank you to all of our Locked On podcast contributors this week as well. For Bodie Wells, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Kate Burdett. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine. Join us next week here on the Ohio News Network.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.